traveled the world investigating spooky places. I've been to Transylvania and Romania. I've investigated the Tower of London. I've investigated the Winchester Mansion. And yet there is one place even I will not go. It's called Pinhead's Graveyard. The realism and terror of this place is second to none. And the man behind it, the madman, one of the most dark and twisted people in the world, is there torturing victims tonight. His name is Otis. Live in the field. Otis, you are a sick man. What? I already hear screams in the background. What are you doing out there tonight, Otis?
We are killing a bunch of people in your honor.
Wow.
And if you come down here, I've got a knife perfectly made for you, Joshua, and you can jump in here. Actually, I can't say what I'm about to say because we're on the radio, so never mind.
Now, when you say perfectly made for me, does that mean you're going to stab me or I get to stab people?
You get to, people. I don't want to say it. Purely speculation.
I don't trust you at this point now. I'm getting a bad feeling about this. So, now, describe your surroundings right now. What's happening there, Otis?
It is, I've got a, there's a group coming up on Michael Myers right now, and it's eerily, the warmth in the air has gone. It's starting to get a little bit chilly out here. We've still got this rain left over, so there's a fog that's starting, because we are literally on the side of a mountain, so the fog's starting to come up and kind of blow by the lanterns. And it's real creepy out here right now.
So Pinhead's Graveyard is in this thick, dense, wooded area. And it takes there's like maybe a half mile of trails that people can make it through if they're lucky.
Yes, about a half mile and 20 minutes if you're running and 30 if you're enjoying it.
That is a long time. That is a long, long time, 20, 30 minutes to be in sheer terror with adrenaline pumping.
And it's so different to where, 18 years ago, whenever we were down on the Zay Road in Asheville, kind of where we started and kind of got the infamous following that we have now. We had all the, Michael, Freddy, Jason, Pinhead, and Scream, and Leatherface, and there was about six movie characters down here. And on opening night, this past weekend, we had 23 down here. So from our beginnings to where it used to take about 10 minutes to go through, now to where we've got so many people, it has just drastically changed. Changed for the better, but it's a whole lot different than what it used to be, in a good way.
So people are walking on this trail or running on this trail, however it works out, and they are suddenly going to be ambushed by either Pinhead or Freddy Krueger or Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees or Leatherface or you or Victor Crowley or Jeepers Creepers or Scream Monster. I mean, they're all packed into this horrifying journey. What if somebody just gets in the middle of this and says, please stop this. Take me out of this now.
That's when our intensity bumps up and the knives come out even faster and we just try to terrify them until they turn around and run out of here. So that's the victims that we love when we come down here, the ones that are just absolutely terrified. So and we give it to them. We've had a couple little kids come down here. They get scared and we make it enjoyable for them. But if it's a bunch of high schoolers that come down and they're just crying, we give it to them. We give them the whole show. That's our job. So.
And you have Leatherface also coming back this year, don't you?
Yes. Ori Mihailov that played Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw 3. We did 2 years in a row and kind of figured that, that may be it for a little bit. But R.A. and I have become really good friends, and I hate to say it, it's almost like a tradition now, bringing him down here. And we still run into people every day that didn't get the chance to come down and meet him. So he's coming out next weekend. He's going to be here Thursday through Sunday, October 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. And he is the most – I've been to a bunch of horror conventions, and he is one of the most personable guys in the industry, really down to earth. You know, so everyone, if you haven't ever met a horror personality or got to meet R.A., you know, grab a DVD. He's got photos and stuff, and come out and meet him. It's a real treat. You know, he'll take pictures with everyone, and he's just a really nice guy. So,
well, it's a good thing, isn't it? Because isn't he? He's huge, right?
Yes, yeah. He's all of about 6'4" and probably 350. If I didn't know him and I saw him in a dark alley, I would turn around.
Oh yeah,
he is just has a menacing presence that he carries around with him, and once you get to know him, you know he's really personable. But he's just one of those guys where you walk up to him and you're like, oh man, this guy's scary. So
now over the years at Halloween or Halloween season, we've had you on this program telling us anecdotes about some of the people who have gone there and their experiences. Any come to mind that you'd like to share with us tonight?
We've had a really good turnout. We opened up a little bit early this year, the third and the fourth, and I just had two people that came here from Lenore, and I had a guy come up here last weekend that he was on his own, drove up here from Ashboro, and I thought about you, thought about maybe he's the one that's going to get in here on his own. No one really knows him, and pick up a knife and start scaring people.
That's right. Everybody should know that, because it adds a whole new dimension of terror to the experience. What if that character who pops out of the woods is not one of your employees?
Yeah. See what? Hey, I got three victims, Joshua. Which one do you want me to kill first?
Let's start with the big one and work our way down.
Y'all come on over here and have a seat for me. We've got a special treat tonight. Right now I'm on the phone with Joshua Warren. And Joshua has given me permission to kill one of you. So, Joshua, I've got one in a black sweatshirt. I've got a bunny-looking thing in a white sweatshirt with a toboggan, and my head's getting cold, so I'm thinking about killing her. And then I've got the other one that's kind of wearing camo that might be fun to chase through the woods. Which one you want?
Oh, hands down, it's the bunny, man. Take out the bunny.
You've been nominated by Joshua to die first, little girl.
So now,
you kids must have got yourselves turned around backwards and got themselves lost, didn't you? Welcome to Penance Graveyard. I'm Otis. I see you've already made Michael Myers mad. Here's the deal. Joshua said I could kill you. And Michael, which one you want, Michael? You want the one up here in the black? All right, Joshua. Michael's got the one in the black. And we've got the floral girl left over. So you want me to just package her up and send her your way?
Please do that, yes.
Okay.
I need some new exhibits for my museum, Otis.
It looks like you're going in Joshua Warren's museum downtown, little girl. We can mummify you. It'll be real good. It's a fun time, okay?
Oh, I can't imagine at the end of the day the stories that you have.
You guys head out of here. There's some steps. Watch your step on the way down. Hunting humans, it ain't nothing but nothing. Y'all run like scared little bunny rabbits. Run, rabbits, run! Run, rabbits!
How late do you guys kill people there?
Oh, man, we do Sunday through Thursday night. We do 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and then on the weekends we do 8 p.m. to midnight, Friday and Saturday night.
And it's important to, again, reiterate, this is the 18th year you guys have done this, so you have perfected the dark art of terror, and people apparently love it enough that they have kept you guys in business for 18 years.
Yes, and every year this thing gets bigger. I know whenever I talked to you 2 years ago, we had RA coming in, I told you then that you know, we discussed that this thing had just blown up. And this year, I mean, it is nonstop. You know, I know with your ghost tours and everything you got going on downtown, that you're super busy year round. And I mean, this is just a, I mean, we start setting up the end of August, and in September, it's just full steam ahead. And then October, we're just trying to catch our breath. But oh man, it is, it takes a toll. It's a whole lot bigger than things used to be.
Yeah. Well, okay, we've got just a couple minutes before our break, and I know you've got a lot of work left to do this evening, Otis. So tell everybody again how they can find you and learn about Pinhead's Graveyard.
Yeah, go to pinheadsgraveyard.com. We've got a brand new website that we worked on and got up this year, and all the info's out there. We are located on 2099 Asheville Highway, and the address for it, Canton, North Carolina, but we're just outside the Buncombe County line. We're about 10 minutes from the Waffle House on Smoky Park Highway. So if you went to that Waffle House where we used to be located for so many years, and you drove out towards Canton, we're on that same road, and you'll see us on the left. But we're open every night now, all the way through Saturday, November 1st. I tell people just to kind of, if it's raining, keep an eye on the webpage or the Facebook page and make sure we don't shut down. Tonight it was drizzling a little bit. We got down here, and the trail was good. It's not raining anymore, so we are we were good to go. But, yeah, definitely pinheadsgraveyard.com, and it's got everything out there, a lot of really cool videos and pictures and everything like that. So.
Well, congratulations on 18 years of scaring the crap out of people and becoming wizards at this trade. And, you know, I'm thinking seriously, maybe I'll come out there one night and I will just be Joshua P. Warren, serial killer.
We can do it. I had you three victims tonight. I mean, you know, we can't take Michael's victim away, but, you know, I get one, you get one, and Michael gets one. It's a win-win for everybody, Joshua.
I love it. All right. Hey, keep up the good work, Otis, and we'll keep sending new victims your way, my friend.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. And for everyone, go check out your haunted tour downtown.
Hey.
It's a really cool experience, so I urge everyone to do that as well.
Well, thank you very much, Otis. That's very kind of you. And indeed, everybody who comes on a haunted Asheville tour gets information on Pinheads because, let me tell you, if you really want to go have an outdoor experience that's going to give you bad dreams, Pinhead's Graveyard will do it. All right, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, more spooky content on this special Halloween edition of the show. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell?
October 31st. It was like the earth had died for a night, and on its last exhale, as the life slipped away, the darkness of the other world had oozed into the void left behind. Ever so gently, the sun had submerged into the grave of the horizon, leaving behind a cold blue world to fend for itself. The leaves and trees were dry and crackly, and the air was so thin that it could not restrain the spirits of the dead, unleashing them into the helpless realm of the living. The color black had never looked blacker, and the lustrous moon above, a mangy cat at the side of the road, and the fire in a jack-o'-lantern's eyes never looked more sinister. The sky above felt bigger and bleaker than before, its infinite mystery overwhelming, and within each shadow, a spectral predator lurked and waited, watching, always watching. But amongst the more substantial underlying malevolence of the night, frivolities danced about its crust. There were rubber bats flapping from bands of elastic, fabric ghosts hanging from trees, grinning gap-toothed pumpkins at every doorstep, and the people Ah, the people. It was like the world had turned inside out for a night, and all of society filled the streets. Both children and adults were decked in costumes of every kind, witches, goblins, werewolves, Frankenstein monsters, and grotesque, slashed faces strolled every lane. Plastic cauldrons of candy sweets abounded. Houses were mummified with soaring rolls of toilet paper. Dry ice fog rolled off green fountains of punch, and floating apples were bobbed for from wide, germ-filled vats. In ghoulish garb, storytellers sat around lapping campfires, relating creepy tales of the past, stories of hooks and hitchhikers, spook-infested houses, heads in bags, cold-blooded murders, and pranks gone terribly wrong. All of them true, of course. And at Helen's Bridge, teens gathered to spot the ghostly mistress, perhaps to find her handprint burned permanently into the finish of their cars. At other places, like the secluded vacant water tower, the open cut, or Spivey Mountain, some of the more bold searched to find Satanists absorbed in their cursed rites, a human sacrifice splayed before them. Young men, intrepid and dashing in their capes and masks, competed for the favors of young women, dressed seductively in the revealing costumes of morbid temptresses. Smoke, candy, mischief, tales, spirits, ancient evil, and the crisp air. This was Halloween. And that was a passage from my novel, The Evil in Asheville.
I didn't know about this novel.
There, take a look at that, Sam.
I shall.
It's hefty, isn't it?
It is. It's got a lot of girth to it.
Yes, it's quite satisfying to hold a book of that size in your hands. Most people never think about the fact that the word Asheville has the word evil right in the middle of it. A-S-H-E-V-I-L-L-E.
You're right.
And so that's why the novel is called The Evil in Asheville. As a matter of fact, Sam, why don't you read the description on the back cover of the novel?
From the award-winning author of Haunted Asheville comes a novel of mystery and the occult. Asheville has a secret. It stays locked away in a room deep within a demonic castle looming darkly above the city below. Few know what it is, and those who do are afraid to say. They call it simply the Horror. It has brought malign wealth and unchallenged power to those who control it. Unchallenged, that is, until he came along. He was a stranger, as steely and mysterious as the castle itself. No one knows his name or the place he calls home, but he will do whatever he must to face the sinister forces lurking within the gothic fortress walls. Through land, air, and water, he will struggle to reach his goal, unraveling the city's bitter enigmas along the way. Shrouded by mystique sorcery in the towering Blue Ridge Mountains, he has a fateful rendezvous with unspeakable wickedness. His life at stake, an entire region against him, he'll go to any lengths to find and destroy. The Evil in Asheville! Dun, dun, dun!
Sounds pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Jessica, you've read The Evil in Asheville.
That's my favorite book you've ever written.
What's that?
That's my favorite book you've ever written.
Really? Isn't that amazing?
It is.
What's up with this picture of you on the back? It looks like, is this your college ID or your mugshot? Or...
You've read The Evil in Asheville, Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, you're a lifelong resident of Asheville. You can relate to a lot of these myths and stories and tales.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, part of the fun of the book was knowing exactly the places that you were talking about.
Yeah. And do some of those seem familiar to you also, Sam?
Yes. I need to take this on the boat trip.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. You would enjoy that. That'd be some good reading for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have written another novel, which is unpublished for the time being. There's a reason for that. I've stopped submitting it because it's R-rated, and I'm working on some projects that it might interfere with.
I gotcha.
If I release something that's that hardcore.
Well, it's got a very good first line. You know, a book, you have to have a good first line. It has to draw you in right from the get-go. You can't just, like, lose you.
Yeah.
There are few things so morbid as the sunken features of a waxy corpse, and this one, rich or not, was certainly no different.
Sam should do the audiobook.
I have done, audio.
Because I don't want to sit down and read 400 pages.
328.
Well, now, you know, you are an adventurer, Sam, and would you be willing to take one of these trips to Mars that everybody is talking about these days?
Well, I mean, it would depend on how long it would take, because with our current technology, the way it would be, would it not take, like, several years?
No, about 6 months.
Okay, it's still a long time to be, like, pooping in, like, a box around, like, eight other people. Like,
yeah.
And my foot goes to sleep, like, on a 30-minute drive, so.
I know. Well, see, here's a story that takes an interesting spin on this from space.com. They say that NASA is now doing serious research on a deep sleep option for those people. They've been looking at innovative ways to dramatically cut the cost of a human expedition to Mars. And they say if they put the crew in stasis, that would be a solution, perhaps. The deep sleep called torpor, T-O-R-P-O-R, would reduce astronauts' metabolic functions with existing medical procedures. They say this actually occurs naturally in cases of hypothermia. So one of the aerospace engineers says, quote, therapeutic torpor has been around in theory since the 1980s and really since 2003 has been a staple for critical care trauma patients in hospitals. Let's see, it goes on to say protocols exist in most major medical centers for inducing therapeutic hypothermia on patients to essentially keep them alive until they can get the kind of treatment they need, end quote. So, coupled with intravenous feeding, the crew would be put in hibernation for the transit time to Mars, which under a best-case scenario would take 180 days one way. So, again, you're talking, you know, again, 6 months there one way. So, so far the duration of a patient's time in torpor state has been limited to 1 week. So nobody's ever done this more than
pushing
a week.
Pushing it.
Yeah.
7 days to 180.
Yeah. And so they say, you know, economically, though, if they can do this, the payoff looks very impressive. Crews can live inside smaller ships with fewer amenities like galleys, exercise gear, and, of course, water, food, and clothing. One design includes a spinning habitat to provide a low-gravity environment to help offset bone and muscle loss.
I was going to say, you wake up, you're in Mars, and you weigh like 48 pounds, and you can't do anything.
A handy diet plan for those of us on Earth, though.
They do use that in a rehab facility, like to come off of drugs and stuff. They can put you under for like a week, so you miss out on all of the ill drawbacks of coming off of chemicals and whatnot.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as adventurous as I may be, no, I'm never going to travel to Mars. I'm not even sure if I would teleport to Mars if that was an option.
Really? Well, yeah. I mean, there's not a lot to do there.
Well, yes, that's true. And I'd rather kind of just sit back and watch the IMAX movie from everybody else.
Shelley will tell you, too. Men are from Mars and women are from Mars.
Yeah, women don't want to go there for sure. Okay, we're coming up on a break. When we come back, I have also another really interesting story I'm going to share with you, which is related to new technology. And there are people out there who are scared of a lot of different things these days. And I'm going to show you or tell you the links to which a woman went in Jackson County, Florida, because she is terrified of something that has been all over the news lately. It's the Halloween edition of your favorite program. Thanks for spending your evening with us. It's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You can learn more about Wright's if you go to speakingofstrange.com and click the link and visit their website, or you can call them at 828-298-5402 and talk to Shelley Wright, 828-298-5402. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and Speaking of Strange, we'll be right back.
Just gather around, and I'll elucidate on what goes on outside when it gets late. Long about midnight, the ghosts and banshees, they get together for their nightly jamboree. There's things with horns and saucer eyes, some with fangs about this size.
Some are fat, and some are thin.
And some don't even wear their skin. Oh, I'm telling you, brother, it's a frightful sight to see what goes on Halloween night. I went through to have a midnight jamboree. They break it up with fiendish glee. Ghosts are bad, but the one that's cursed is the headless horseman. He's the worst.
That's right, he's mine on Halloween night.
But when he goes to jogging across the land, holding his noggin in his hand, demons take one look and groan, and they hit the road for far to know.
Beware, take care, he rides alone.
And there's no spook like Spookin' Spur.
They don't like him, and he's really burnt.
He swears to the longest day he's dead.
He'll show them that he can get ahead.
They say he's tired of his flaming top. He's got a yen to make the swap. So he rides one night each year to find a head in the hollow here.
Now he likes them little, he likes them big.
Or in the middle or awake.
Black or white or even red.
The headless horseman needs a head with a hip, hip and a clippity-clap. He's out looking for a chop-chop. So don't stop to figure out a plan. You can't reason with a headless man. Now if you doubt this tale is so, I bet that spook just a year ago. Now I didn't stop for a second look, but made for the bridge that spans the brook. But once you cross that bridge, my friend,
the horse is through his power end.
So when you're riding home tonight, make for the bridge with all your might. He'll be down in the hollow there. He needs your head. Look out! Beware!
With a hip, hip, and a clippity-clop. He's out looking for a head to swap. So don't try to figure out a plan. You can't reason with a headless man.
Yeah, happy Halloween season, everyone, and welcome back to Speaking of Strange, a Halloween edition brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, in the studio tonight with producer Sam the Animal Still, investigator Shelley Wright, also Lauren Warren and my sister Jessica Warren, and we are enjoying all of the little treats and subtleties of this season when, well, what they call liminality occurs. That's when the veil is thin between one realm and the next, when there's a transition taking place. And it reminds me of this poem from Nightmares called The Haunted House. On a hilltop bleak and bare looms the castle of despair. Only phantoms linger there within its dismal walls. Through the dark they're creeping, crawling, frenzied furies, battling, brawling, sprawling, calling, caterwauling through the dusky halls. Filmy visions ever flocking, dart through chambers crudely mocking, rudely rapping, tapping, knocking on the crumbling doors. Tortured spirits whine and wail, they grope and grasp, they wildly flail, their hollow voices rasp and rail beneath the moldering floors. Shadows from the dim hereafter hang from every creaking rafter, laughing disembodied laughter in their ghostly glee. Shades of evanescent matter whisper their unearthly patter, rattle chains that chill and shatter on their spectral spree. Revenants on misty perches taunt the ghost that lunges, lurches as it desperately searches for its vanished head. Shapeless wraiths, devoid of feeling, hover blindly by the ceiling, ranting, chanting, shrieking, squealing, promises of dread In the corners, eyes are gleaming. Everywhere are nightmares streaming, diabolic horrors screaming in the sombrous air. So shun this place where specters soar. It's you and you they're waiting for, to haunt your souls forevermore in their castle of despair. The Haunted House, from Nightmares, Poems to Trouble Your Sleep, by Jack Perlutsky. We'll continue sharing some of these with you as the evening goes on. What is it that scares you? What is it that frightens you this time of year? Here's a story from Jackson County, Florida. Says here, a mom is in trouble there. She's been burglarizing cars at a school. Why? Because she says she's looking for ISIS. There's a growing concern that the Islamist state of Iraq and Syria could attack the United States from within. Cops just don't believe that terrorists will start by hiding in cars on elementary school property, but that did not apparently stop a 30-year-old woman from using ISIS as an alibi. The woman is accused of burglarizing cars in the parking lot of her children's school and then telling officers when she was caught that she was doing her civic duty as a good citizen, looking for ISIS terrorists and protecting the elementary school and all the children there from an attack. Well, the police see things a bit differently. She was allegedly caught stealing sunglasses and other items from cars at the high school there as well, and she remained in the Jackson County Adult Detention Center Friday. She could get 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine.
For sunglasses?
I guess breaking into cars and, in general, a whole series of them. Yeah, I'm not really worried about terrorist over here, frankly. Maybe I'm naive. I'm more worried about high blood pressure or something like that. That's probably what's going to kill you.
I mean, statistically speaking.
Yeah, yeah. We were, during a break earlier, we had a conversation outside about the Hope Diamond, the curse of the Hope Diamond. And here's a story from the Huffington Post here. It says a former UPS employee in Arizona, he is in trouble because he stole a package that he thought had cash in it and traded it for $20 worth of pot. Turns out the box that he swiped actually had a $160,000 diamond in it. Authorities say the half-baked bandit traded the diamond for the equivalent of two joints of marijuana, and the package was insured and sent by UPS highest level of security and tracking, so they knew when and where it vanished. The diamond was later recovered and returned to its intended recipient. Cameras saw him stealing the package. Yeah, I was explaining that the Hope Diamond has kind of an eerie connection to Asheville, the curse of the Hope Diamond. And in fact, I'll just tell you this real quick, Sam. Here's something I didn't mention to you before. On November 13th, 1906, Asheville's largest mass murder killing spree occurred. A man named Will Harris had escaped from a chain gang around Charlotte, and he came to Asheville looking for an old girlfriend, and she wasn't here, and people were lying and covering up where she was, and it ticked him off. And so finally, he went out and he bought a rifle and a bottle of whiskey and a new suit, and he got liquored up. And, well, one thing led to another. Next thing you know, about 10 o'clock at night, he starts out at Eagle Street, and he's making his way down Eagle Street and then turning the corner to Biltmore Avenue, screaming that he's from hell and shooting at everything that moves. And this guy had amazing accuracy for a guy who is inebriated. So, at one point on his killing spree, which included two police officers, Will Harris, he turned a corner to go from Eagle Street down Biltmore Avenue. And it just so happens that back then, across the street, kind of around where Hannah Flanagan's used to be, there was a bar called the British American Club, where a lot of the elites would hang out in the evening. And one of the guys hanging out there was a local judge named Spears Reynolds. And Spears Reynolds always kept a .38 revolver in his breastcoat pocket. And he heard the ruckus outside, and he walked outside the bar and saw this madman shooting people. And Spears Reynolds pulled out his pistol and started shooting at Will Harris. And Will Harris started shooting back at him, and they were missing each other. And finally, at one point, Harris landed a shot so close to Spears Reynolds that there were chips of the brick that kind of rained down on him, and he thought, okay, I've had enough, and he popped back into the bar. Well, eventually, Will Harris was gunned down by a mob, a posse. Fortunately, our largest mass murder killing spree was six people, but still, six people, six people. But the point of the story is that after that, people always considered Judge Spears Reynolds a very lucky man. The irony is that years later, his little brother, Robert Reynolds, would become a senator from Asheville. And Robert Reynolds married a woman who was the daughter of the last private owner of the Hope Diamond. And once she brought the Hope Diamond to Asheville to visit, all these very bad things started to happen. And when a lot of people think of the curse of the Hope Diamond, they're actually unknowingly reflecting on some of the incidents that happened around Asheville. And I have, an exhibit that spells all the details out, but I always thought it was interesting that one brother, who was the beacon of good luck, years later had that reputation transform into one of the biggest bad luck and curse stories in American history.
It's the universe weighing itself out.
Yeah, I guess so. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I have a couple more stories I'm going to try to share with you about technology, and also, hey, how about a creepy Halloween-y story as well? I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. Now, remember, you can go to speakingofstrange.com, and you'll find a live chat during the show. You'll find our Facebook page, Twitter page, all that stuff linked up. You'll find a link to Wright's Coin Shop. You'll find a link to the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours, and they are selling out already, not to mention the Ghost Hunt on November 1st. So be sure to go there, and maybe you get to meet me, because I'm going to be personally hosting some of these tours this October, and then I'm going to disappear for a while. When we come back, more Halloween spookiness for you on the show that brings you the amazing, the remarkable, and the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange. You know, Sam the Animal, this is the only time of the year I will allow this song to be played on Speaking of Strange. Do you know why that is?
That's a shame, first of all, but why is that?
Because in my early, early days of writing research, I was so well known for Ghosts and Ghosts Alone that I would do interviews, and they would always bring me in with Ghostbusters. And when I wrote the book How to Hunt Ghosts, I must have done, seriously, in 30 days, at least 100 radio interviews. And about 95% of the time, they brought me in with the Ghostbusters song.
They all thought they were being unique, too.
Everyone, yeah. They were so creative.
I've been that guy.
I know. And so that's why I was like, you know, I've heard that song enough. I'll give it. I mean, and it's a good song. Even listening to it now, it's a great song.
Great movie.
Yeah, but I've just heard it enough, I guess. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. We're in the final minutes of hour number two. Next hour, well, we have some very scary stuff we're going to share with you.
Do you think our guests in the studio are ready for the Dark 30 hour and the shenanigans that go along with it?
I don't know. I heard Jessica's already going to split, so she's not even going to stick around. You don't want to comment on some of this, Jessica? Yeah, you should.
No comment.
You should. You should comment on this. And I want to also...
My grandmother's listening.
She's the one who needs to be in the studio tonight.
I know, right?
Yeah, she could have some really, like, seedy, sordid comments.
Hey, Nanny!
Hello, Nanny. And also, I just want to be sure that I put this out here, because, of course, last fall, I was one of the producers of Puppy Fest, which is now on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, and it's one word, type in Puppy Fest. And one of the stars of Puppy Fest was a dog named Dude. And Dude's parents are Sherry and Al McDaniel. Actually, a lot of people know Al. He is a musician. They know him as Al Coffee McDaniel. And they have a breast cancer benefit and invitational jam that they're putting together. It's to help raise funds for a fellow musician, Jeff Rudolph's wife, Patty. She has been diagnosed, and so all the proceeds from this benefit will go directly to the Breast Cancer Fund. It's going to take place on Sunday, October the 26th, from 5 to 10 p.m. at Tressa's Downtown Jazz and Blues. Now, that's at 28 Broadway. It's actually right up the hill from the Asheville Masonic Temple there. The doors are going to open at 5 p.m., and the music hits at 6 p.m., and honestly, many of the area's finest musicians are going to come together and lend their talents and support to a very worthy cause. So we hope that you'll do that. It costs just $10 to get in the door as a donation, and Al Coffee and The Grind will be the host band for the benefit. Here is, let me just share a little spooky story with you guys before we move along here. I have too much content. We just can't get to it all, but that's okay. That's why we have always the next show. Here's a story that I enjoy telling sometimes this time of year. It's from Scary Stories 3, More Tales to Chill Your Bones. While Ruth slept, a spider crawled across her face. It stopped for several minutes on her left cheek and then went on its way. "What is that red spot on my cheek?" she asked her mother the next morning. "It looks like a spider bite," her mother said. "It'll go away, just don't scratch it." Well, soon the small red spot grew into a small red boil. "Look at it now," Ruth said. "It's getting bigger. It's sore." "That sometimes happens," her mother said. "It's coming to a head." In a few days, the boil was even larger. "Oh, look at it now," Ruth said. "It hurts and it's ugly." "We'll have the doctor look at it," her mother said. "Maybe it's infected." But the doctor couldn't see Ruth until the next day. Well, that night, Ruth took a hot bath. And as she soaked herself,
the boil burst, and out poured a swarm of tiny spiders from the eggs their mother had laid in her cheek. A lot of people don't like spiders. I'm one of those people. They say you swallow like 10 of them in your sleep during your lifetime.
Probably more.
Probably is more. I had to kill a tarantula not too long ago in Puerto Rico, you know, Sam.
A lot of juice in it.
Very juicy, very crunchy, very hairy. People get mad when you say you kill things, but...
Well, you save all those adjectives for the Dark 30 hour.
Under the circumstances, one of us had to die, and it wasn't going to be me that night. Okay, when we come back, yes, it will be Dark 30, and we're also going to have more Halloween surprises and some stuff that might make you jump a little bit. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop.